This Sunday, the Church throughout the world celebrates the Feast of the Holy Family. And this Sunday, there are very clear parallels between the first reading from the book of Samuel and the Gospel. The readings from Samuel and the Gospel are examples of how God intervenes miraculously in human life. When Hannah and Elkanah couldn't have a baby, Hannah prayed desperately for a child. In fact, she prayed so hard, mumbling and mouthing her words, that the priest Eli saw her and thought she was drunk. Through prayer, Hannah came very close to God, and her prayer was answered by her giving birth to a baby boy, Samuel. She was so grateful that once the baby was weaned, his parents took him to the temple in Jerusalem and in effect gave him to the temple to become a priest himself in the service of God. They gave Samuel back to God as a sacrificial offering of thanks. Can you see how this is a hint of the future sacrifice of Jesus that we see in the Mass? So Samuel was brought up in the temple in Jerusalem by the same priest, incidentally, Eli, who'd accused his mum of being drunk. Miraculous births are a sign of someone very special being born. So we see the same sign of holiness with Mary and the birth of Jesus. Mary also had a miraculous pregnancy. She became pregnant even though she was unmarried and had never had sex. Tradition has it that Mary, like Samuel, grew up in the temple. She was a very prayerful girl and woman and was very close to God. In fact, that's what Mary, full of grace, means, close to God. This holiness meant she was given the great honour of being asked by God to be the mother of Jesus. When the angel says this will happen to her, does she say it's impossible, that she won't cooperate? No, Mary trusts God and says, "I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to his will." In other words, yes, I'll do it for God. But unlike Samuel, Jesus was not brought up in the temple. No, Jesus was brought up in his hometown of Nazareth by his mother Mary and his stepfather Joseph. The point, I think, is this. Jesus was a man of the world. He knew what it was to be an ordinary person in human society, not closeted away. Jesus knows what it means to be living in a human family. And his parents, like all parents, were a major influence on Jesus' view of the world. The Gospel is chosen for the Feast of the Holy Family today precisely because it shows how important good families are. But things don't always go as planned in families. How come Mary and Joseph managed to lose Jesus on their annual trip to Jerusalem? Well, up to the age of 13, Jewish boys could go on the pilgrimage their parents made, or they could stay at home. Mary and Joseph were very devout Jews. They went with Jesus every year. You may notice the contrast with Samuel's parents. As a baby, his father went on his own to Jerusalem, leaving Samuel with his mother at home. Once a Jewish boy was 13, he was deemed to be a man. He no longer stayed with his mum, but stayed with his father, often starting to learn his trade from his father from that age. And men were obliged to go on the annual trip to the temple. So the story of the Gospel today is set when Jesus is about 13 years old. And at that age, a Jewish boy could still choose to flip between travelling with his mother or his father. The men journeyed separately from the women, hence the confusion. Mary thought he was with Joseph, Joseph thought he was with Mary. And when they realised he was missing, they spent 3 days looking for him. Note the 3 days. It's pointing to the future. 3 days was how long Jesus was missing, how long he was dead before the resurrection. It took 3 days before he was reunited with his mother and the apostles after the crucifixion. 3 days when they were distraught because they had lost Jesus. And what did Jesus say when they found him in the temple? It sounds a bit cheeky to us, really. "Why are you looking for me? Didn't you know that I must be busy with my father's affairs?" Well, this is the point. Do you remember how I said that once a Jewish boy reached 13, he would stay with his father, often starting to learn his father's trade? That's what Jesus was doing in the temple, asking questions, listening to the teachers, learning his father's trade. You see, Jesus' father was not Joseph the carpenter. Joseph was his stepfather. His real father was God. So it was natural for Jesus to be in the temple, the house of God. And finally, Jesus returned home from Jerusalem to Nazareth with them and was obedient, even though he was God's son. With an amazing human intellect. He didn't abandon his human family. He respected it because he realized how important families are. That's why the Catholic Church sees stable family life as the bedrock of society, where individuals learn to become decent, upright, active members of the Church and members of society. And that's why the Catholic Church speaks out in defense of family life whenever it's seen as being threatened. In fact, this Sunday, we have a letter from our Archbishop Bernard Longley, Archbishop of Birmingham, which discusses the issue about threats to the traditional regard we have for marriage in this country. It's all about defending the traditional understanding of marriage. And the link between all this and the second reading, written by Jesus' disciple, St. John, here's one interpretation. In the same way that baby Jesus was adopted and raised by a human family, so we have been adopted by God. Through the Church, through being Christians, through modelling our lives on the example shown to us by Jesus and the example shown to us by other brothers and sisters who are good Christians, we come under God's holy influence. In the same way as Jesus came under the influence of good parents in human society. By being with fellow Christians, by coming under the influence of God, it makes us spiritual people. It makes us better people. It makes us more like God.